Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plot lines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
In this episode, we imagine an Indiana Jones movie if the bad guy was Joe Exotic from Tiger King.
Have you guys ever seen someone on YouTube took Toy Story 3 and they cut it so that way right after the incinerator scene when they're all looking in, it cuts to the credits?
Why? Right in the childhood.
Jesus Christ.
That is amazing.
They just show people that have never seen it before and they get the reaction.
Oh, it's evil.
That is really cruel. Holy God.
I did see recently there was a group of computer animators who turned the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder into an R-rated movie.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Or, you know, they're basically, you know, making Augustus Gloop blow up and stuff like that. So,
Jesus.
It was pretty dark to begin with. Yeah, it was so dark to begin with.
Yeah, but I feel like we gloss over the darkness because, like, oh, fond childhood memories. But yeah, it's pretty.
Which ironically is also how I felt about Temple of Doom, because I remember that freaking me the hell out when I was a kid. And now rewatching it as an adult, I'm like, okay, it's, you know, certainly dark. But I will say, as we have our discussion today, something I'm going to keep in mind is the fact that Temple of Doom is one of two movies that led to the creation of a PG-13 rating system. And that's so right. To that end, yes, it was this and Gremlins and the graphic nature of certain scenes in both of them. Because, you know, you can't really say the word shit and then have somebody's heart get ripped out in a PG movie these days. I'm going to be thinking about today as we talk about Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Tiger King, or whatever the hell we're calling it, is what sort of events could happen that would basically force the MPAA to create a new rating system as a result of the events that ensue.
So are we thinking too intense for PG-13, not intense enough for R, or are we going past R?
I was going to say, you'd have to go past NC-17 and X, which I think the only way you can do that is with like a snuff film or something like that.
I mean, have you seen Tiger King? It's basically that. I mean, it was like episode 1.5. Oh, you know, it was like 5 minutes in and somebody got their arm ripped off. And I remember live tweeting it and being like, I am 3 minutes in and someone's arm has been ripped off. What is this series?
You know, that's what all our reaction to it was. What is this series?
Yeah.
Everything that
happened. And it just caused more questions than it answered.
Yeah.
Really.
So, Sean, you mentioned Temple of Doom. The reason why I chose this mashup is because Joe Exotic is basically a cult leader. And he kind of, and my inspiration was like, oh, there's an actual movie where Indy fights a cult leader. So it seemed natural.
That's absolutely true. As I'm watching Temple of Doom last night, I'm just hearing in that high, reedy, southern voice with the faintest lilt, Kalima, Kalima.
We had previously talked about Joe Exotic, like sacrificing people to the tiger pits in his cult ceremonies. Would you guys be interested in keeping that?
I would see nothing wrong with that. I would also say that one of the things that jumped out at me was, you know, how part of the induction into the cult involves hallucinogens.
Meth.
Yes.
And obviously as a, yep.
There's exactly. The meth reference.
Exactly. Meth or Carol Baskin's sardine oil, Doc Antle's winning personality or whatever the hell he uses to lure
winning.
People in.
Winning personality. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
So Joe is going to lure people into his cult with meth, basically.
Meth and tigers, yeah.
I mean, is that not what he does now?
It is what he does now, you're right.
Yeah, I was saying it's real life.
Yeah, three straight husbands. I mean,
I thought there was four, actually. Wasn't he married once to someone who actually went to jail for murder, and that's when he met his other two husbands?
Yes, I believe that's correct. So he's currently on husband number four. Husbands two and three are the ones that are featured very prominently in Tiger King. John Finley and the kid whose name I'm blanking on right now.
The husbands should be like the goons. Like who are the guards in his temple?
Yeah, because Oklahoma I think ranch. That the tigers obviously would not be the guards, because the moment you try to unleash tigers, they're just going to turn right back around and just and just mess Joe up, because I feel like they have so much anger. Yeah.
Tigers don't care about people.
Well, yeah, didn't in like the Siegfried and Roy show, and like one night, like the white tiger went nuts and like bit one of the magicians or something. Like they are no joke. Yeah.
Yeah, it almost killed Roy.
Yeah, so we just know that if you're a dude and your name has three letters, Roy, Joe, or Doc, the tigers will mess you up. That is just...
John, you've got four letters, so you're in no danger of being eaten by a tiger.
I am perfectly all right.
So, Laura, your man, Joe Plock...
He could, but luckily, I am smart enough to keep him away from the South, where I hear there are very dangerous and shady people. I don't know, Connor, can you comment on that?
You're talking to one right now. For reference, I am in North Carolina while my three fine co-hosts are in upstate New York.
You know, you're in that great land where the barbecue consists of salt and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots of
At least
tobacco.
We are all very far away from Wynwood, Oklahoma, where all of this madness took place.
So I'm assuming the main bulk of the action is going to take place in Wynwood, Oklahoma. How like Indy's a globetrotting guy. How is he getting to that region of Oklahoma?
Well, does he want to blend in with the local surroundings in order to go incognito? Because in all of his other movies, it's always, I'm going to wear like the headdress or the garb of the local people in order to try to blend in. Or he just goes straight leather jacket and screw everybody else. So he either has to rent some kind of like Hicksville RV to get down there, or he just gets dropped off by an airplane somehow, because that is the only other mode of transportation Indiana Jones besides blimp that he ever really takes.
I was thinking like it starts with him on some other adventure and then he gets stranded in Oklahoma somehow, and the only place he can stay is Joe Exotic's ranch.
But I would also add that Indiana Jones has a habit of being hired by people who will ultimately betray him in some way. So I can only think that there's some sort of precious, you know, liger cub or something like that, he's trying to rescue on behalf of Carol and Howard Baskins.
So Carol Baskin hired him. Interesting.
Sort of like how Walter Donovan hires him in Last Crusade, yes.
The only other person who ever like gives Indiana Jones any kind of quest besides, you know, like some museum is the government. You know, they come to him and they say, hey, I know you're an archaeologist and have no governmental authority whatsoever, but we have this rare task for you to do. So I feel like there would be some kind of governmental agency wanting to take down this tiger temple of some kind and to say Indiana Jones is obviously the only authority we can send in there.
That's absolutely true. I mean, and we do see that Joe Exotic does have the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries after him or something like that. So it would not at all surprise me if they wanted to put a man on the inside.
Right.
Oh, so that's...
Well, no, I think that it's one of those things. And I think it happens in Last Crusade, too. Like, one person hires him to go on, like, a personal quest for them. And then the government approaches him and he's like, there's two people who want me to go on this thing. I can kill two birds with one stone. Now I'm even more incentivized to go down there and solve this mystery.
Put a man on the inside and while you're there, rescue this whatever on behalf of Carol Effin Baskins. And,
Yeah, because then it's always that choice at the end of the movie. If the goals are no longer, you know, combined and he has to choose between the higher purpose of serving, you know, fish and game and wildlife, or he has to, you know, turn his back on Carol Baskin's like method, you know, which does he choose? And
this tiger belongs in a museum.
Oh. All right. So Indy's hired by Carol Baskin and the government to free... What, some like tiger cub or something from Joe Exotic?
Well, it has to be some kind of artifact.
Hear me out on this. Supposing the Hope Diamond was in Saf's hand when it got eaten.
That's a really good idea. I like that.
or they were holding something when when they got de-armed.
De-armed.
Oh, okay. So he has to get it out of a tiger.
Potentially, or out of whatever the tiger leaves behind, yes.
Okay, so the Hope Diamond is the MacGuffin, and he has to get that on behalf of his, you know, the government and his rich benefactor.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some sort of myth behind it that, you know, whomever holds the Hope Diamond has like some sort of persuasive say over the people that they can rule, which people are like, huh, well, he's in a cult and maybe he's using that power evilly or something. And then everyone gets really nervous because he decides to run for president. And oh my gosh, we have to stop this dude from running for president with the Hope Diamond, because then the entire nation is just going to turn into a bunch of gay rednecks.
Yeah, which of course is why Doc Antle has some sort of sway over all of the people for, despite being a not, you know, overly attractive man or have very many redeeming qualities at all, is that he's been exposed to this jewel, whatever it is. I just said Hope Diamond as a placeholder. And so subsequently it's, you know, sort of given him this influential power.
I think that the jewel would have to be called the Eye of the Tiger.
It is. Absolutely.
Okay, you know what? We're going with it.
A big tiger's eye gem, so the Eye of the Tiger.
Carol wants this diamond as well, right?
Oh, no duh. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, she wants it. I think
maybe she wants it to try to bring her missing husband back. Or she sacrificed him to the diamond.
Oh.
And that's what gives it its power.
I was thinking that, sort of like the Lord of the Rings, the one ring where Don Lewis had the diamond on a ring or something like that. And so, you know, in a self-defense thing, she fed him to the tigers to get away from it.
That's how the gem works, because Joe was sacrificing people to this tiger god. Like, maybe that's how you power up the gem. You have to sacrifice a person to it to, like, get it to work for you one time.
Specifically to a tiger.
And Joe wants to use the gem to build more power and eventually conquer the world and get more husbands.
Yes.
Yeah. And him and Doc are totally in on it together because, you know, Joe gets the men and Doc gets the women. And so they've got to be teamed up somehow. That's just a given.
They're not competing with each other. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until Joe ultimately betrays him and attempts some sort of seduction.
Oh my God.
I feel like this is the elephant in the room. Is Joe Exotic going to try and seduce Indiana Jones?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that is like, I mean, okay, Temple of Doom, he's like, I'm not going to fall to Kali's spell. I'm not going to fall to Kali's spell. And then the first time you get him alone in a cave for 12 seconds and he has one drink of wine, boom, he is all about the Kali.
Yeah, Indy's an easy lay in that category.
So who rescues him?
He says, well, I don't like easy women, but, you know, he himself is a huge man whore, so.
Yeah.
This is he has a different girl in every movie, even though Marion was the best by far.
I wonder, like, who's his partner in crime and all this? Because Indy does not travel alone.
No, because, like, in Temple of Doom, it was Short Round. In Last Crusade, it was his father. In the one we don't talk about, it was Shia LaBeouf.
But don't forget, like, he always had Marcus too, his like friend from the museum, and he always had these
Marcus,
you know,
and Sala.
And Sala,
Sala. Yeah, there should be another character
or some kind of a backup to him. I mean, and, you know, maybe that some of these people who have lived and escaped these places, he's now teaming up with. So who's that one girl who escaped from Doc Antle's mini like love cult there? You know, he engages her to go back with me. And she's like, no, I can't. I've left that life. I'm leading a better life now. And he has to convince her to come and help him.
To set the other women free.
Oh, yes. And then that's another Temple of Doom thing where they set the people free.
Yes.
That's got to be a thing.
Yes. Yes. This is all, it's all lining up now.
Listen, Joe Exotic wanted to be famous. We could have him as one of the as a part of one of the most iconic franchises of all time.
He already is. It's called Tiger King.
Yes.
But he could be in two franchises. Harrison Ford's in two franchises. Worked out for him.
That's true. Although rewatching it today, I realized that did John Williams also do the music for Indiana Jones?
He did, yes.
Okay, because I had just watched one and then watched the other, and I noticed that anytime Harrison Ford looks longingly at any brunette whatsoever, this same love music plays, and I'm like, I see you, John Williams. I see you. What are you doing?
Is for him to look longingly into the eyes of a tiger as I Saw a Tiger by John Williams starts playing in the background.
Oh, so John Williams is doing an orchestrated version of I Saw a Tiger. Oh, that's amazing.
And a climactic battle to Here Kitty Kitty.
Oh, gosh.
Here Kitty Kitty, what always happens in every Indiana Jones movie, like he's about to die, but then he just escapes the jam, and then the dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 that main theme plays. So here,
Carol Baskin, she's a dun, dun, dun.
Carol Baskin killed her husband. So the main theme plays. The main theme plays, and then like he's about to die, and then the main theme plays. So we could have Here Kitty Kitty go into the main theme as he's about to finally beat Joe Exotic. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, that's the main boss battle. That does not happen until at least act 3.5 to 4.
Yeah, that's the end of act 3.
So he's enticed to go, and then he has to travel down there. He has his partners in crime to help him, And then he reaches Oklahoma.
And then he reaches Oklahoma. And then I feel like, should Joe Exotic welcome him in first and then he gets like trapped up in all the stuff, or does he have to be sneaky about it?
I don't know.
I mean, Joe Exotic is, if nothing else, a very social guy. Makes a lot of dumb decisions. So quite frankly, if somebody wanted to infiltrate him, then that sounded wrong. But if somebody wanted to infiltrate him in the inner circle, then I don't think it'd be very difficult to do. He probably would just welcome him in and show him around because he sees him as another potential conquest, as it were.
Okay, so that's going to kind of follow a Temple of Doom setup where he's welcomed in and then he like goes into the catacombs and then finds like the people enslaved and like all the tigers like aged and all that kind of stuff.
And all of his minions are all missing some limb or like either an arm or a leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. I think he's probably like, if this is a tour thing that he does give out and, you know, in of his complex, you know, he definitely is going to go on the tour and see everything. And of course, any dude with a whip and a bomber jacket, Joe Exotic is just going to zone in on immediately.
That would be the other thing is that upon meeting Indiana Jones, Joe Exotic would leave for a moment and come back inexplicably dressed exactly like him.
Yeah.
Within about 5 minutes. Arm bit off, suddenly he has an EMT jacket on.
So we've got him at the ranch. Should we have it just be the ranch, or should we have it be like a castle or something a bit more exotic?
Exotic.
Well, I think it has to have a legitimate front, because how else could Joe Exotic like have plausible deniability? So he's definitely got like the simple country compound, but then you dig a little deeper, you know, under the septic tank is just like this whole catacomb of like the actual Tiger Temple.
Exactly. Sort of like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and how it just looks like a normal factory on the outside and it's totally insane on the inside.
Oh, okay. I like where this.
Yeah, I like that too.
The Tiger King can.
who can take a straight man? Who can take a straight man?
Sprinkle him with meth.
The meth man can. Okay, so that's going to be up for the Best Original Song Oscar, and so is the John Williams version of Here Kitty Kitty. Like they're going to be competing for the Best Original Song Oscar. So,
oh my god.
Who
are we going to get? Who's the celebrity that we're going to get to sing, like, for the soundtrack edition only, I Saw a Tiger?
Elton John?
Okay.
In fairness, I can absolutely picture Elton John playing piano and singing with a tiger laid across the piano.
Absolutely.
I think he did that once.
That does sound like something.
With the tiger print on, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's definitely an Elton John thing.
Yeah, so definitely a soulful version of I Saw a Tiger sung by Elton John with a tiger draped across the piano. Very like End of Lion King-esque romantic, can you feel the love tonight of feel. Yeah, that is definitely, yeah. And of course, if you use Elton, that's total Oscar bait, so.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Dude gets Oscars. Oh, what do you think about a soulful saxophone solo in between the second and third verses?
Featuring Kenny G.
Yes.
Yes.
This movie has everything,
but the saxophone or clarinet, whichever Kenny G prefers to play, must be tiger-striped. Like to make it work.
Absolutely. And Kenny G has to be wearing tiger stripes as well.
Oh yeah. I think the whole thing has got to be tiger spots and stripes.
It's all tiger stripes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got to have the jewel of whatever. It's got to have the eye of the tiger like pressed into it somewhere.
Okay.
You know, and don't knock the merchandising rights on that, because how many little girls bought fake Hearts of the Ocean out of magazines in like, you know, 1997 because they saw it in Titanic and sent their $23 into Time Life to get one of those things. So I think the merchandising things on the Eye of the Tiger gemstone that will come out of this will be great.
Not to mention all the self-merchandising that Joe Exotic did already. I mean, we saw him selling not only his albums, but underwear, condoms with his face on it, which would be a little off-putting. But nevertheless, he is a shameless self-promoter.
Oh God, can you only imagine like Disney buys out the Tiger King like they did Star Wars and just, you know, Joe Exotic finally becomes what he always wanted to be, a Disney princess. And
yes.
Then they can turn it into the next musical.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Everybody gets their picture taken with him at Disney World.
Oh!
I would not want my children around Joe Exotic.
I wouldn't want my husband around Joe Exotic if I had one.
And I'm also picturing him walking around and like hypnotizing Shere Khan, Raja.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Aladdin because he's shirtless.
Hide your tigers, hide your Disney princes. It's Joe Exotic.
And Kylo Ren. He would totally go after Kylo Ren.
Yeah, but I think that Kylo Ren definitely would use the Force to keep Joe Exotic just far enough away from him.
So we got some merchandising. We got this turned into a franchise. But now we got to get back into the plot because we actually do need a movie to sell all this stuff. So where were we last? Was it Joe has introduced Indy to his compound?
Yes, and has, you know, said, you know, you can feel free to stay here the night, of course, Miss, you know, Dr. Jones.
So then, yeah, Indy hears some commotion and ends up in the catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets, yeah, and then I think at this point, he, like, there's some action scenes, but he should get captured.
Well, yeah, he's got to fight off the other guards and stuff, because yeah. Joe Exotic obviously has, like, guards around all night.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's triggered by Rob Kirkman, who we see is the film, he's the television producer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy who talks, and somehow his words never fully escape his throat. It's always back here. But but he's sort of an inside man who's been spying and subsequently has his equipment destroyed in a fire. And so I think Indy, in an attempt to rendezvous with him, comes across the film equipment and everything being destroyed, which obviously leads to that new mystery. You know, it's sort of it's the finding the ransacked room or the coming into the Cairo and being chased by the thugs all of a sudden.
It's like the meeting so much resistance. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. He should be like outnumbered because he's always outnumbered in these action scenes.
Mm.
So like, he should be going in with his sidekick and then they're both captured. And Indy, I think it's going to be kind of a retread of Temple of Doom where he gets brainwashed. And the girl is about to be sacrificed to the tiger gods.
Yeah. But I would say in the chase scene that leads up to his capture, we need to have a quick nod to the fourth movie and have him hide in a refrigerator, which before hiding in it, he clears of all the expired Walmart meat.
Ew! I also think when he's being captured, I think that there's a good little subplot that we can add in. He must appeal or try to appeal to one of the workers. Because my favorite character in Tiger King is actually Saf. He's awesome. Yeah, okay. He's the bomb. And he really cares about the cats and animals. And it's obvious that, you know, a lot of people do, but he really does. Because how else can you explain getting your arm bitten off and coming back to work like 2 weeks later and being like, it's cool. I don't blame you. So I feel like Indy would try to appeal to Saf's better senses of like, look what he's doing to these tigers. This isn't why you're here, you know, and tries to like sway Saf to help him out. And I think, you know, Saf like has to like nod and like go along with what Joe Exotic is doing. But if you need that extra rescue at the end, you know, someone to swoop in and help Indy that you didn't expect, like, oh, ha, ha, someone is helping. It would definitely be Saf.
I would almost see Indy trying to incite some sort of uprising among the staff because Saf very clearly does care about the tigers above all else. We see basically in his final confessional, the whole, you know, we've really lost sight that this is about the animals. And we see that to some extent with some of the other people as well, you know, less so from Saf, but John Rinke, the zoo manager with artificial legs, and that guy, I want to say his first name's Eric, who clearly gives zero fucks.
You know, the blonde guy who never takes his sunglasses off, that guy.
Yeah, he's always in a lawn chair, always wearing sunglasses. They say, how many wives does Doc Antle have? He goes, I don't give a fuck. I could see them sort of leading an uprising, sort of like when Indy and Short Round free the kids in Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, as Joe Exotic loses his talisman of power, or they see that he's beginning to fail, you know, that moment where he reaches out and goes, you know, help me, my loyal workers. And they just kind of like give a look to each other and go, yeah, fuck no, we're out of here.
Yeah, it's an escape like in Temple of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a brief moment of betrayal when John Finley, Joe's husband, looks at him, looks at the other staff members, looks at Joe, and then runs with the other staff members.
Yeah.
Specifically with the lady who works at the front desk that he's now married to.
This happens after Indy has been unbrainwashed. So how does that happen?
So we might be jumping the gun here.
All right, no, don't worry. Yeah, so like he was brainwashed initially by the meth. Yeah. But how do we get him out of that?
Well, just like in Temple of Doom, like he got burned in Temple of Doom to finally be woken up. But so someone has to either, you know, either Saf finally like helps him snap out of it, or his trusty sidekick finally escapes by pretending to be one of, you know, Doc Antle's sexy ninja warriors or whatever that he keeps around and being like, oh, I've come back. Let me just slip behind these line, you know, enemy lines. And then she goes and just like smacks Indiana Jones across the face to wake him up.
Oh, so she saves him. I like that. Like short round saved him.
And I would say, let's add another reference here in terms of when she smacks him, she does so with a nugget of gold that she finds and she puts it on his head.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah, get the references. Get as many references in as possible.
So, that'll be a deep cut.
Are we having Carol Baskin involved in this at all?
Well, see, then Carol Baskin was in the first part of it. And then so as soon as Indy thinks that he's safe and has won, so does he actually get the talisman, or does he like decide to destroy it? Because I think Carol has to show up sometime in the third act to be like, thank you for eliminating my competition, Dr. Jones. I will take that now. And then he has to like choose the greater power. Like, does he destroy this ancient talisman in order to rid the world of evil? Does he turn it over to Carol? Does he turn it over to the government?
Here's what I'm thinking. So Indy gets unbrainwashed. He starts punching all the guards and saving everybody. He gets the talisman. So Joe Exotic no longer has the power over.
And I'm sorry, just one more deep cut here. Could the talisman be on a padlock?
Yeah, well, it's obviously padlocked to part of Joe's body because that's how he would keep it safe. So, and I do have to say the final boss battle between Indy and at least Joe, because I feel like he's, you know, semi-boss, but like the final battle between Joe Exotic and Indiana Jones has to be a whip-off battle. Like just the both of them, you know, Joe, and then they both eventually get tired of it and just both whip out guns and start shooting because that's both of them do.
Wait, we have a throwback to Raiders where Joe is about to like throw another whip again, and then you just bang.
Well, yeah, because Joe did that too. He pulls out a gun like randomly that he always has on his person too, so...
But Joe pulls out his gun and pulls the trigger, and come to find out that's the gun that Travis thought that Travis actually unloaded. So there's no bullets in it.
Damn it, Travis.
And then the theme plays and then Indy's able to take him out.
Yeah. And then takes out and then finally gets a hold of the talisman. And then as he's turning around to try to escape, and all of the workers are now freed, and all of this, you know, the sex slaves are being freed, and you know, the workers are like, let's go to try to free the tigers or do something. Just as all of that, you think it's going to be a happy ending. Dun, dun, dun. That's when Carol Baskin shows up.
Plot twist. Third act plot twist.
Third act always plot twist. Third act twist.
The person Indy was working for the entire time turned out to be nefarious.
Oh, heck yeah. They always are. Even if it's the government. Always nefarious.
Because they take it and they say, you know, we've got it, don't worry. And it's just, you know, they're putting it away in some crate someplace.
Sean, it's being analyzed by top men.
Who?
Top men.
Men.
So funny question. There's an online petition that when this movie gets made, either ours or the real Tiger King movie, who gets to be cast as Carol Baskin? Because obviously I don't think that the real Carol Baskin would ever agree to be in a movie that makes her look like she is anything less than a saint.
I also don't want to have like actual Carol Baskin having to act opposite Harrison Ford. That's very disrespectful to him.
Yes. Yes.
Like he's given us enough quality entertainment that we shouldn't do that to him.
Correct.
Now, currently I know that Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live is attached to a project for Carol Baskins.
Really?
So, is that the one where Rob Lowe's playing Joe Exotic?
Yeah, with Rob Lowe as Joe Exotic, yes.
Really?
Oh my god.
I can totally see it more as like a Drax Shepard. Not Drax Shepard. What the fuck is it?
Dax Shepard.
Because he is way more of like that, like he's got like the facial features and the beard, but I still think that like Lisa Kudrow would make a hella good Carol Baskin.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, let's not overthink Joe Exotic. Matthew McConaughey.
You know, the other one who jumps out, and because he's not, you know, as good an actor as some of the other names that keep getting mentioned, but because he's basically done the role before, is David Spade. Because is Joe Exotic if not a gay Joe Dirt?
Oh my god. Do you think that Joe Exotic saw Joe Dirt and was like, yes, that is what I want to do with my life?
But with more math.
They actually asked him, who do you want to play you in a movie? And I believe he did say Brad Pitt or David Spade.
Okay, well, Dr. Fauci gets to request Brad Pitt, but Joe Exotic does not.
I concur.
Like, you're no Dr. Fauci.
Oh.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci was a good friend of mine. You, sir, are no Dr. Fauci. that one's a deep cut. That's a political reference from 1988.
Wow.
Were any of us even alive?
In 1988? Yes. Nope. Yes, I was.
Laura was.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I could see David Spade as Joe Exotic. So it would be David Spade going up against Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Indiana. That's like, and that's boss battle, number one. He's got to defeat Joe Exotic. He's got to get the talisman. The workers are taking care of releasing the tigers and the rest of the slaves into like the general Oklahoma population, which I'm sure is a plot point we'll have to handle later.
Just a very misguided attempt to free the tigers.
This is a terrible idea. Just release them into the Oklahoma wild for no reason. And then you turn around and of course Carol Baskin is there and she wants to take the talisman, and at her side has to be like her squadron of people that she's brought to try to take it, because obviously she's got her husband on a leash, like sick 'em boy. Like,
I was just about to say that.
So this is after Joe Exotic is vanquished and
then they have to escape the temple.
Okay, they escape the temple. Any shenanigans like as they escape the temple, like a minecart chase or something?
I think he's got to be riding one of the tigers at one point as Ride the Tiger plays in the background.
Is Here Kitty Kitty playing as Joe? Like, I think we established that Here Kitty Kitty is playing as Joe Exotic is fighting Indy at the end there.
Mm-hmm. And then it switches to the Indiana Jones theme when he starts winning. And of course, Indy wins the battle by grabbing the talisman, shoving Joe off balance, and Joe, ends up either toppling into some kind of a pit or, is falls and is killed. And as he does so, the talisman is given power because Joe Exotic has been unwittingly sacrificed to the tiger god. And so the talisman gets this power. And so Indy's like, better use this to help me escape, and uses it on a tiger to help him ride out of this temple. And that's when he runs into, because he always ends up using the power at some point. Like, he uses the Holy Grail in Last Crusade to save his father. And so he's trying to ride this tiger out of the temple. And because it's Joe Exotic and because it's Indiana Jones, there has to be explosions and dynamite for some reason. They blow up a lot of stuff in Tiger King. So his, obviously something gets knocked over or knocked into, and that is when there's, cacophony.
The meth lab
starts to explode.
Yes, and as he's escaping, so everybody's safe, everybody's free.
Everyone's trying to be, and the moment you get up to the surface, just like the opening scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's Carol Baskin, just like Belloc at the end there, like, I will take what you have taken,
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then as all of her people, stand on the edge of the hill, suddenly in comes Seth and John Rinke and Eric What's-His-Face with all of the tigers on their end.
Like, after them.
As two armies begin to charge in at each other.
Can John have like Iron Man thrusters in his legs? So he's like.
So they all suddenly, just when you think there's no hope left for Indiana Jones, and he's painted himself into a corner, and Carol Baskin and her goons are bearing down on him across the Oklahoma hills with the setting sun and the meth smoke, come in this gangly bunch of heroes who, being freed by Indiana Jones, run to his rescue with all of the tigers that still love them.
With all the tigers who are sick of Walmart meat.
They want some.
And I think we need to see a battle of the secondary characters that's really intense between John Rinke or Saf and Howard Baskin, that ultimately ends ironically with Howard Baskin being set aflame with sardine oil as the accelerant.
Oh man,
This is a film. We got ourselves a film right here.
Yeah.
When does the Elton John / John Williams / Kenny G version of I Saw a Tiger come in?
Oh, is that just it's end credits. Yeah, that's how they used to do it. Like old fashioned Disney, they would have, the characters or whatever singing the song and it'd be in there. But then as the credits rolled and like the good music ended, they'd have like the pop version of one of their songs for Oscar bait just shoved in there at the end.
Yeah.
I think we have to decide, though, how does Indy finally conquer Carol Baskins, or does he?
So just pretend like this is it. So one of the people that was freed or that was in the cage with Indy way back when, wouldn't raise his head and wouldn't talk to him and was just like really, you know, out of it. Yes, you're seeing it, right? And out of the rubble and meth smoke, you know, in the middle of this mega boss fight, just with the drum beats and like the big John Williams overture behind him, steps the not dead Don Lewis.
Yeah, he steps out.
So it was like this, all this big conspiracy that like he's been after this as well. And that's why he disappeared. And she sent him on a death mission to go get this amulet for her. But Joe like kept him as a prisoner, but she didn't get care enough to come rescue him. And he just steps out of his meth haze, like Carol, like, and then he's like, I miss you. And the two of them just like go down together in flames in this battle. And he definitely has to take her down.
You know, reunion of the villains as the world blows up around them.
And
it's got to, the reveal's got to be one of those things where we see like a close up of his feet and, you know, as the cloak falls away and, you know, money falls out of his pocket and, you know, an empty tin of sardines falls down.
And he just comes as, like, you know, the
keys to his van.
She sent him there a long time ago. But of course, like she packed his clothes with sardine oil so that she would be caught on purpose or whatever. And then he just steps out and he saved a can of it just to take her down. And the two of them get mauled by tigers and fall into flames.
Okay, so we've just had the resolution of the film where Indy finally defeats the two bad guys. But like, what happens as a result? Like after that, like the kind of the time after that resolution where Carol Baskin and Don Lewis eat it. How do we set up a sequel? Who's what famous singer do we get to do the sequel? How is the government involved? How do we do the merchandising?
Well, I think the most important thing is now that Indy has the Eye of the Tiger, what's he going to do with it? He's got it from the grips of, you know, the evil cult leaders that were using it.
Yes, that's right.
But you know, the EPA is there, the Fish, Game, and Wildlife is there, and they are ready to take it back with them. So if he has to hand it over to them, we have to have like a Raiders shot of them saying that they're going to be, you know, analyzed by someone. Who would it be analyzed by?
Top men.
Who? Top men.
And then maybe perhaps it cuts to a Ace Ventura or Crocodile Dundee type.
Ooh, okay. So maybe that could be the villain of the next movie? Or it's just some person that, or it's just like a teaser that we leave in. Now, okay, we're switching from Indiana Jones to Ace Ventura. That's a bit of a leap, but Einhorn is the lady from Ace Ventura who wasn't originally a lady.
It's Joe Exotic as a lady.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
So we're bringing him back from the dead. Oh, Joe Exotic hiding as an EPA person so he can actually get the Eye of the Tiger.
He has a leather bomber jacket that just happens to say Fish, Game, and Wildlife on the back of it, too. That's how he escapes.
And we're bringing him back from the dead, too. So I like how we've made him immortal.
No. Well, yeah, even Satan doesn't want Joe Exotic.
Because Satan is evil and wants to punish people, and he wants to punish humanity by having Joe Exotic be unable to die. It's perfect.
What is he, Attila the Hun, God's scourge on humanity?
That's basically what you said. That's kind of what you hinted at, Sean.
It's either that or Joe Exotic died and sold his soul to come back one last time. That's the only other explanation that I can accept, is that Satan rejected him because he's that bad, or
and he made a pact with Satan to become his, you know, his arm on earth, as it were.
Oh, so we went from Joe Exotic to Joe Exotic working with Satan for the next movie.
I mean, have you seen some of the people Joe Exotic works with in this life?
So Joe Exotic is going to be back from the dead for this sequel. So who's singing the famous, who's like singing a song for the sequel? Are we getting a doing the famous singer like we got Elton John?
I'm thinking I want to hear Neil Young's interpretation of I Saw a Tiger.
So we're going to have,
I Saw a Tiger.
With some harmonica.
I Saw a Tiger. And the man.
Very soulful, very Canadian. So it's just going to be a different person doing I Saw a Tiger for each movie.
Perhaps even Here Kitty Kitty.
Oh, Here Kitty Kitty could work.
Here Kitty Kitty.
Yeah, because I mean, we could definitely do Neil Young if we were feeling very soulful. I was thinking like Sting, like if we wanted to have it be super exotic.
The other question is that if I Saw a Tiger and Hear Kitty Kitty have already been recorded on Joe Exotic's private record label, does that disqualify it from original song for like the Academy Awards and stuff?
Oh, if it does, I'll be so pissed.
So if so, we need to have someone write a new song about Joe Exotic, the Tiger King.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, there you go.
You know who would have been awesome? Queen. If Queen had been able to do a song about Joe Exotic, it would be the grandest, most epic thing ever.
And you know, Freddie Mercury would have been all about it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and we already got Elton John. So it's Queen is like, you gotta like that would be even better. Cause like you could have like the flamboyance of Freddie Mercury with like an amazing Brian May guitar solo over like the talk about Joe Exotic with his tigers. So we've got a sequel where it's Joe Exotic coming back, and we've got a multitude of singers we can pick from. What else is burning us up, and what's going to happen with the rest of this indie Tiger King franchise?
Maybe like, you know how in some movies they have the like a post credits like notation of like what happens to some of the people afterwards, because I feel like that happened with Tiger King. They had a documentary after the documentary came out about how the documentary affected the people that the documentary was about, and we kind of got to see like, where are they now? I feel like during the credits you can have like pictures of the people that played these roles, like Saf and like a couple of the people, like, you know, and you know, Saf retired to the Washington Zoo or blah, 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 like, and have these, like, give some people happy endings.
Oh, that would be nice. You could have it set to like an 80s song too. You could have it set to like a Kenny Loggins song.
Yeah. Or like a soulful Elton John, I Saw a Tiger. And just in the background, there's these like beautiful black and white pictures of the people who were in the movie.
That works better.
Last shot would be a picture of Joe Exotic with just this cryptic note of Joe Exotic's remains were never recovered.
Ooh, I like that.
Setting up the sequel.
Oh, nice.
You should do In Memoriam and then just have the entire cast, even though they're not dead.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's
horrible. And the tigers. And the tigers, too. There should be just like a bunch of pictures of tigers.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you know, it's so... I think we've got everything we need for an indie Tiger King 2.
Everything we needed, even though we didn't need it.
No. I mean, we did not need any of this. We did not need any of this amazing monstrosity, but we have given it to the world. You are welcome, world.
Is this a situation where we brought it into the world and someday we're going to have to take it out when it inevitably becomes a monster?
Probably. Well, but thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie and hearing our take on Indie Fighting Joe Exotic. Connor, play us out.
Indie defeated the Nazis and conquered the Temple of Doom. He can win over any woman who's with him in the room. But in the plains of Oklahoma, he met his greatest test. A gay cowboy with his name tattooed on many a man's chest. Lindy fought a man named Joe Exotic, with his husbands who weren't gay before. And he's got a huge cult with tigers and men. It's the greatest challenge that Indy has faced yet. And he wanted the emerald for the good of man, but that bitch Carol Baskin had another plan. Well, Carol was sitting back, Indy was inches from death. But he beat Carol just like he beat Joe's husband's hooked on meth. Lindy fought a man named Joe Exotic, and his husbands who weren't gay before. And he's got a huge cult with Tigers and Meth. It's the greatest jam that has met you yet. It's the greatest challenge that Indy has faced yet.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and drop a comment. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for what movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.